Appreciate being able to be here. We've wanted to come in quite a while. And after we got word that Brother Kenneth's wife had passed, we sat down to, or started to pray. And we was praying. I felt like the Lord told me, we're filling in for Brother Dan. So, Webb City. So, we're here. Desire your prayers. Lord will have mercy. Molly and I have not been apart this long since we got married. It's a little bit different. At least I'm getting to talk to her once in a while. But the thing of it is, her mama's quite ill and she has to call for her and her sister to help take care of her. And sometimes we don't get to talk very long. Sometimes we do. I want to talk on a subject this morning that is about a week late. In other words, I'd like to preach it last Sunday, but that didn't work out, of course. And so I'm going to preach it on this Sunday. Really, you can preach this any time of the year. It's not one of those, just a one-time message, so to speak, during the year. But a lot of times when I do bring it out, I do preach it around this time of the year. I want to talk about being thankful this morning. And we've got a burden. We will drive to, work to, however you want to say it. And so this morning, how many days out of the year do we celebrate Thanksgiving? Huh? One. But really, on a spiritual level, how many times should we celebrate Thanksgiving?
All year.
All year. Every day. Several times a day. Thanksgiving morning, when I got to praying, I just walked around and cried and prayed and thanked the Lord over and over for stuff He had done for me for all these years. And if it hadn't been for Him, I wouldn't be here. The bottom line, I'd have never gotten saved, never gotten sanctified. I'd never known the truth. I'd never been in the ministry. I wouldn't be here. And then if you go from the fact that it's been His grace that has got me where I'm at, also, I've made it because of Him. And I told Him over and over, I said, Lord, it's not me. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He appreciated what God had done, and we're going to get into some of that this morning. But the bottom line for you and I this morning, we're here because of Him. You didn't get saved, you didn't get sanctified, you didn't get baptized, you didn't know the truth. You didn't have any of that if it hadn't been for God. He has given you something that's the most special thing that you could ever have this morning, and that is Him. And this morning, I appreciate the fact that we can know Jesus as a real Savior, not somebody off in a distance. I was, here a few days ago, I would say, well, I'm all by myself. And Lord impressed me, said, no, I'm here. I'm here, praise God. Now, Molly's good. She's wonderful. But bless God, we can have the Savior, too. We can have Him right there with us. Even if our companion's off somewhere or whatever, I've had to deal with this kind of thing down through the years with two marriages. But the bottom line is, the Lord can be right there. He can help you and I. He can comfort us, encourage us, and strengthen us. And so, consequently, He needs our thanksgivings. He needs us to say, thank you, Lord. I appreciate what you do. Now, anybody in here like somebody to thank them for something they do? Wives, do you like the husband? Say, boy, that was a mine meal. Thank you. Boy, I appreciate what you're doing, keeping the house clean and so forth. Thank you. I don't know about you, but since I'm a gender, when I go into malls and stuff and I'm looking around and everything, and if one of them little blue carts show up and somebody pushed that cart and they got a dust mop and all their stuff with them, I ease up to them and I say, I want to thank you for what you do. I appreciate what you're doing. They're keeping it clean, praise God. They're keeping it mopped up. They're keeping it where I might not fall on my face sometime. And the bottom line is, I appreciate what they do. Well, listen, folks, this morning, what man does is one thing. What God does is everything. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 3. And again, we desire your prayers. We need the Lord's help. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. It said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now the word perilous here, when you translate this word out far enough, it says dangerous. We're living in dangerous times. And it hit me, I don't know if Molly and I was talking or something, and I quoted this and I said, you know, we're in very dangerous times, especially in some places. Some cities are a mess. They've defunded the police, they're trying to pull back on this and that, and the vigilantes are just taking over. They're doing all they can do to burn places down, tear places up, and so forth. We live in a dangerous time today. But then we also live in an unthankful time. There has been, how many of you, and I don't hear it much anymore, but when I was out in the retail field in the service station stuff, they say, Happy Turkey Day. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Happy Turkey Day. Turkey's all right to eat, but I need Jesus, praise God. Happy Thanksgiving Day to Him for what He's done. He caused us to have the turkey. Without Jesus, there wouldn't be no turkey, bless your heart. So we live in a day that are disobedient. We're living in a day that's unholy, and we're living in a very unthankful day. People really, Brother Les, I believe, brought out a time one time. He was talking about this type of subject here, if I remember right. And he said, people are like the hogs that are rooting around. He said they never look up to see where anything come from. They've already got their head down, just kind of rooting around. That's the way the world is. They're rooting in their sins and their mucks and their mires and their things they're doing out there. They're just wallowing in that filth and that stuff. And consequently, they're not really seeing where the real blessings come from. I'm thankful today I can see where the blessings come from, aren't you? Thank the Lord for that. Let's go to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Now I know why I'm so loud. I had my hearing aids so high it was about to get my attention. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and we not ourselves. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Thank the Lord today. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Everybody, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve Him with gladness. Now one time Brother Bob Slee walked into a chapel in Oklahoma, and I don't know what he really noticed or didn't notice, but anyway, he got up and testified. I believe this was a Wednesday night. It could have been a Sunday night. It was a night service anyway. And he said, folks, we don't need to come here with a hang dog look. In other words, down, out, not encouraged, not happy, not free. We just kind of, all the time, just kind of a hang dog look, as he called it. And that's true. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Now, some of you that are good singers, better than I am, so to speak, you can sing around the house. You can praise God in song right there at the house. You can come before His presence with gladness, day in and day out. I went to the job one time, this had been many, many years ago, had my service station, and I don't remember what I was ruffled about that morning, but for some reason I wasn't in the best demeanor, so to speak. And one of my regular customers that lived just down the street, not far from the station, he come in, he got out, and I don't know what was said, but he said, what's wrong with you this morning? What's your problem? I thought, Lord, help me. You know, here I am. I'm supposed to show Jesus, and He already sees that there's something not quite right with me. I'm out of sorts, so to speak. And so, Lord, help us to be in sorts. Lord, help us to be thankful. Lord, help us to be glad. Help us to be thankful and glad and present and pleasant as we go along. That the Lord, He is God, and it is He that hath made us. Not we ourselves, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, I have been blessed over the last number of months, and I've brought this out in different messages in different places, but the very fact that we have a God that will come down among us as a people in our services. He'll come down in your home. You ever feel him in your home? How much glory have you ever had? What is glory? Glory is a real, best I remember the definition, it's a real nearness of Christ. Now we have him inside, but there is a time, and I've had him do this, and he has gotten so close that my physical being was about to explode. I thought I was going to explode. One time in West Virginia, when I was sick out there in 1987, the Lord come down, and he was so close, and in that room, I was shouting and crying all at the same time, and Rebecca Ann got up there and come in and said, "You all right? You okay?" I said, "Yeah, the Lord just real close, praise God." Listen, folks, that's glory. That's the closeness and the workings and the Spirit of God that's really blessing you for what you're doing and what He is pleased with what you're doing and whatever that might be. And He's real close to you. I'm going to tell you, you can't thank Him enough for that. Just getting real close to us. Praise God. I like to be close to my wife. I like to put my arm around her and hug her and so forth. And the bottom line is, listen, God is even greater than that, thank the Lord. I have her because of Him. You have your companion because of Him. You have everything that you own because of Him, thank the Lord. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise and be thankful unto Him. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. All right, let's go to 1 Chronicles 29. Now, this is quite a reading here in 1 Chronicles 29. The 29 and about the 10th verse here, I believe it is. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is, O thine, is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. They said, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners. As were all our fathers, our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own." To me, David here is bringing out the greatness, the goodness, the love. He blessed the Lord before all the congregation. That is why we're here this morning. But we don't come here just one day a week to bless the Lord only. We do it 7 days a week. We do it over and over maybe during the day. And he blessed the Lord. And he said there, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine." Now, everything here, his greatness, his power, his glory, his victory, his majesty, we've got to remember who God is. Don't ever forget who he is. He's a God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. I am that I am. He's the great one. And he's the one that you and I ought to stand in great reverence and awe and as a godly fear that this is God that we're dealing with. This is God that I have my reason to even be alive is because of God. If you look at it, one minister brought out to me several years ago, he said, "Carl, you're where you're at because of God." He said he had his hand on you basically before you was ever born. I thought, what are you talking about? And then it hit me what he meant. I am adopted. He got me adopted into a family that one of them out of two knew the truth, knew of the church of God. It didn't have to happen that way, but God done that. So consequently, he'd been working on me, taking care of me, and doing things for me all of my life, praise God. Doing things that I didn't really realize maybe totally all the depth of it. Several years ago, when we were in South Carolina, Rebecca was reading the girls in school. She was reading them a book. And in this book, there was a child that had wanted to get back with her parents or his parents, whatever it was. I don't remember if it was a boy or a girl. And anyway, you don't really realize this if you're not adopted, but there's always a longing to know who that parent was, who those parents were, if you're adopted. You wonder what they look like, what they do for a living. Is there any other siblings? You wonder that. It goes through your mind. It don't bother me quite as much now as I've gotten as old as I am. But down through the years, it has affected me. And so Rebecca was reading this and going through what this child was going through. And all of a sudden, the tears started streaming. And I wasn't bawling, but I mean, I was screaming. All of a sudden, I got up and walked out of the room, and I heard one of the girls go, "What's wrong with Daddy? What's his problem?" Well, I went into my bedroom and went back in the bathroom, and I was back in there, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "You're mine now, child. You're mine, praise God. I've given you everything you've got. I am the great God of heaven that has saved and sanctified, delivered and blessed and worked and given you everything, everything in the bank, everything in the house, the cars, everything you own come of me, praise God. You're mine, thank the Lord. You're not a lost little sheep. You've been brought back in the fold, thank God." Thank the Lord for that this morning. He didn't have to do that. But he got his hands on me even before I was born, so to speak. And he molded me and he shaped me and he made me what I am. And then he sent me out there and he got me into a good spot. And that good spot just kept leading and leading and leading to where I'm at today. 50 years of it. Been saved over 50 years now. And listen, folks, today I am very thankful for everything he's done for me. The times I've been sick, the times he's touched me, the times he's blessed me, anointed me, given liberty and freedom, whatever it might be, it's God, praise God. It's Jesus, it's his power, it's the Holy Ghost, it's none of me, it's all of him, thank God. Because he's God, and we're the sheep of his pasture. We're his people, we're his body. We have got things, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Listen, folks, sometimes have you ever thought, "I can't do that? I can't do it." And the Lord give you strength to do it? That's God. That's God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Oh, are we thankful enough, saints, for what Jesus does for you and I every day, maybe every second, praise God. To be honest with you, I think I told him the other morning, I said, "Lord, I couldn't thank you enough if I thank you constantly, every day, 24 hours a day, because what he's done. If it hadn't been for him, I wouldn't be here. If it hadn't been for him, I'd been dead years ago. If it hadn't been for him, I wouldn't have anything." Look at the people on the street. Look at what this virus has done to people around the world. And now then they're saying another variant has broken off out in Africa. And it's beginning. They don't know just how bad this one's going to be. But they say it could be rough. But look at the goodness of God. Thank the Lord for what he has done. Thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark the 8th chapter. Let's look here. Jesus didn't. To me, I love to talk on something like this, and when I mean this, about Christ. Because if you get into a subject that you're going to teach on or preach on, a lot of times you'll find an example of Jesus doing exactly what you're talking about. All right, the 8th chapter here of St. Mark, and starting here at the 6th verse, it said, "He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. He took 7 loaves, and he gave thanks. And he brake and gave to his disciples and set before them, and they did set before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and he commanded to set them also before them. And they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. Now then, this is Christ. But yet he gives us an example of thanking the Lord for the food. He gives us an example of being thankful before God. Now this is no small miracle. I have never eaten with 4,000 people. Have any of you? I've eaten with a number at times, but not 4,000. I doubt if I've even eaten with 1,000. So the Lord performed. He done it with loaves and fishes. I was in South Carolina one time, and I went to a home and went there. And Brother Sire goes, Brother Carl said, I got some fish and bread for you if you want it. And I took it, and I sat down there, and I was eating it. I thought, this is just like Jesus eating fish and bread. Eating fish and rib, that's better than nothing, thank the Lord. It's not a steak at Cattleman's, but bless God, I enjoyed it. The bottom line is Jesus gives us small things, medium things, big things, and he wants us to thank him for the small things along all the way to the biggest things. He said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And he wants a blessing. All right, let's go to John, the 11th chapter over here where he raised Lazarus from the dead, deal with Mary and Martha. His friend was dead, and Jesus has come upon the scene now, and there's a lot of good reading in here, but I want about the 40th verse, 11 and 40 of St. John. He said here, Jesus saith, and here saith I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. This is Martha, I believe, here. And then they took the stone, they took away the stone of the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me also, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead come forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes in his face, bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews, which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, he believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now, Jesus done this to get people's attention. He didn't just come here and raise Lazarus from the dead just to experience his power, but he done it for a reason. He done it to get people's attention. Do you think that he uses you sometimes to get somebody's attention? He could bless you and use you and work with you in such a way in whatever it might be, in a sickness maybe, or on the job, or whatever, and use you to get somebody's attention, bless God, to help them to see that there is somebody that's working in this world. I love nothing better than a doctor to say, you're praying, keep praying, it's working. Or I like him to look up like this and point like they did my daddy and said, it's up to him now. I've done everything I can do. I like him to admit they're man. I know that God is God and I know Christ is Christ and I know what the Lord can do. But I like a doctor, a lawyer, a rich man or a poor man. I like the senators and the congressmen and the president and the king and the queen to admit there's a God, praise God. And he's a great God. He's not just anybody, thank the Lord. He's a God that we need to thank every day. Have an everyday Thanksgiving feast every day, thank the Lord. And he said here, in the 41st verse, it said, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Could we say here that Christ, so to speak, is exercising faith before anything happens? He is. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In 1983, on my honeymoon, Rebecca and I was over in Nashville, Tennessee, and I got sick. She had been sick a little bit. She had had a cold and deep chest cold and everything, but she had gotten better, and I don't know what I had, but I got sick. And we were over there, and so we spent the night in a motel. Next morning, I was still sick. So she said, well, I'm going to call for prayer. I said, that's fine, baby, go for it. So she did. And then she come and she prayed for me. Now, the bad thing about it, in my mind, she prayed all around the world for everybody first, and then she prayed for me last. You'd think newlyweds would pray for the husband or the wife first, but no, I got last in that deal. But while she was praying, the Lord talked to me. He said, thank God for healing. I thought, huh? He goes, thank God for healing. I thought, I'm not well. I thought you'd do it after you're well. He said, thank God for healing. Jesus said here, he said, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. In other words, he's thanking them. And the way I'm taking this, he's thanking him first. Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Lord, for working before I do anything. He hasn't done anything yet. He's just thanking God. He's already thanking him. Lord, help us to have faith to thank God for something before we ever get our hands on it. So anyway, Rebecca Ann's praying, and she gets to it. I said, all right, get the Bible. She got the Bible. I said, I quoted a scripture too. I said, read this scripture, and I said, we're going to pray again. Okay. So we did that. And that time the Lord spoke to me again. Thank God for healing. I thought, Lord, I'm not healed, but about that time it hit me what he's saying. Thank God for healing before you're healed. Thank God for healing before you're healed. And I started thanking the Lord, and when I did, things started changing instantly. You can thank God for something you don't even have yet. There was a minister living by faith, and he had, somebody had told him, somebody had told him they were going to give him their travel trailer. Well, he hadn't gotten it yet, but he told the family, so-and-so's going to give me, he's going to give me this trailer. Maybe he felt by faith that that man was going to give me that trailer. Maybe that was. And anyway, he's thanking the Lord for it, and they don't have it. The children's kind of going, yeah, sure, Dad. And one of them particularly, one of the older ones, she went to the mailbox one day, and she got some letters out, and she brought them, and I think she opened it and read it. Anyway, she got excited because exactly what her dad said was going to happen was happening. It was confirmed right there in that letter. We're going to give you this trailer. See, he had it by faith before he got it. The Lord wants us to get things by faith before we get it. That's faith, folks. That's faith that's reaching out and grabbing hold of the power of God and saying, thank you, Lord, for something. That's what he's doing here. He didn't say that. He didn't say thank you after he lays Lazarus from the dead. He thanked him before when he first prayed. I thank you that thou hast heard my prayer, praise God. In other words, Lord, you're going to do this. Father, you're going to raise this man from the dead. This is my friend. He's going to be raised up. And he said it that these people may believe. Listen, folks, when you have faith like that, it'll get people's attention. I've seen it happen. I've been in rooms where that we were maybe several of us praying around the bed of somebody. I could think of one. Well, I think of two of them. Two of them in particular that I remember. Well, maybe I better stick with one on that one. But I think there's a second one. Yeah, there's a second one. I think I know which one it was. But anyway, I'm getting a little older, folks. And so the bottom line was, as we were praying, and nothing really was happening. And all of a sudden, somebody took the bull by the horn, so to speak, and started thanking God for hearing and answering prayer. And when they did, things started changing. That person started settling down. The pain started leaving. Whatever, they fell asleep. Whatever. In other words, there was blessings right then. But somebody had to take it and say, thank you, Lord, for answering prayer right now. Not in the future. Not tonight. Right now, thank the Lord. I thank you, Lord, right now. Now faith. Now faith. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. First Timothy 1 and 12. 1 Timothy 1 and 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him and to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, let's tie that with Colossians 1 and 12. It's the same chapter, same verses exactly. One's in Colossians and one's in 1 Timothy. Colossians 1 and 12. It said, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that in heaven and that in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones and dominions, principalities and power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All right, now then, how many of you this morning thank the Lord for salvation? There was people that have struggled with sin and corruption and pollution in their lives. They thought there was no help at all till Jesus came along. And he began to deal with them and call after them, begin to work with them. And they began to see that, well, let's take Lewis Kimball, for example. Brother Lewis and I were very close. And the Lord started dealing with him, and he didn't recognize it. And so he was telling people, and they said, you need to pray. He said, Lord's dealing with you. You need to pray. Lord's dealing with you. You need to pray, Lewis. The Lord's dealing with you. And he's going, he didn't know quite what to think, but he was under conviction. So he said, one day I went into a closet, a literal closet. He shut the door and he stayed in there for 3 days. He didn't eat or drink anything for 3 days. And he prayed through while he was in there. And when he came out, he was a new man, praise God. He was raised up, he was saved. He was happy, he was redeemed, he was free, praise God. At first he had a wife that was quite something else, but the Lord got a hold of her and changed her too. I mean, she was a little bit hard on him at first, but the Lord had mercy. Listen, folks, today, we can't thank God enough for saving our souls, because you couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. There ain't no way. But the Lord, there are some people that has had a very, very simple prayer, bless God. Children in particular, they don't know a whole lot about it. Bang, they got it. I've known of people, I know them today, that have been saved nearly all their lives, started at 6 and 7 and 5 years old, started living for the Lord, and they're still living for God years and years later. Sister Carol Jentz is one of them. Sister Lottie Porter Joyner's another one. They started as children, trusting the Lord, are getting saved and living for God. And I appreciate that. That shows there's a God that'll take care of the little ones as well as us that started in our teen years. I was 18 when I got saved, 31st of October, 1971. And I appreciate what he done. Here Paul is telling here that he was no angel. He was no angel who was before a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And he said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came unto the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now listen, folks, the bottom line is he can save anybody that'll come to him. There's not anything he can't deliver a person from. People say, well, Brother Carl, you don't know, I've drank all my life, or I've smoked all of my life, or I've drugged all my life. That don't matter. He can do it. I know he can. I've seen him work. I've seen him do it. I know of a case in South Carolina where I was talking to the husband, and his wife had smoked and smoked and smoked for years. And he said, Carl, or Brother Carl said, she just can't give it up. Said she's tried this and she's tried that and she's done this and she's done that. And I don't know if she's still smoking or not. This has been years ago when I was living there. And I've been waiting there about 14, 15 years now. And so it's been a number of years. And But I said, listen. I said, have you ever heard the saints testify how the Lord delivered from smoking? Yeah. I said, have you ever told her that? No. I said, you need to. Listen, folks, our testimony of salvation does a lot to people. You may not have one like Brother Sammons did or Brother Curtis did, but I got news for you. Your experience is your experience. And God can use that experience. It don't take one that's deep down in the dregs of sin to get saved and delivered and the Lord blessed. The bottom line is the grace of God is visual to everybody that lives that life before everybody. And so consequently, no matter how far you wasn't down, the bottom line is Jesus still blesses you. And he saved you and delivered you. And you can stand back and say, thank God for salvation. He done something for me. Listen, he didn't personally save me out of a lot, but he saved me from a lot. Because I was headed possibly to no telling what all. Because I know what my sights were set on. I know what I was thinking about doing. And the bottom line was the Lord got a hold of me and he turned this old boy around. Instead of going this way and that way, I started going toward the Lord. Started loving him and started doing things for him and so forth. And I appreciate that it was him, praise God. And that's what Paul is saying today. He said, the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Listen, folks, Paul was greatly changed. He's got one of the greatest testimonies of anybody I've ever heard of. But the bottom line is, he can use you just like he did Paul. You don't have to be a Paul. You don't have to be a Brother Sammons. Brother Sammons was deep. He was in a mess. And God did deliver him. But the bottom line is, he delivered me and he delivered you too. Let him use your testimony. Tell it. Let it be known. Praise God. Thank God for saving me. They don't have to know all the incidentals. Just let them know that God has saved my soul. I'm not what I used to be. Maybe you had a bad temper. Maybe you was a bad cusser. Maybe you were somebody that stole. There's all kinds of things. It don't have to be drugs. It don't have to be alcohol. It don't have to be gambling. But there's something that he delivered you, or some things that he delivered you from, that the Lord done it and it wasn't yourself. My sister got into gambling. I don't like to tell this, but she did. And she told me why. And I could understand to an extent, but yet I couldn't. And finally, my brother told me. I said, Craig, I said, if you got cigarettes in the house and you get a nicotine fit, you go get you one. But I said, if you have a gambling fit, so to speak, and the gambling hall 50 miles down the road, that don't make a lot of sense, but you get here and go there just to gamble. He said, Carl, the same deal flowing through the brain is the same. I thought about it. I thought, okay. So in other words, you say the gambling call is just as strong as nicotine or alcohol or drugs. Yes, that's right. And she went, and she went. And I think, as far as I know, she finally got out of it. She ended up in Hawaii. And if she was doing any, she was doing it online. If she was doing it, she wasn't losing everything because I had control of all of her money. And she gave me control of it. I didn't ask for it. My brother didn't ask for it. She couldn't manage her money. So she went to Craig and she went to me. And we got it all worked with it. Rebecca was a bookkeeper. She worked with it. And we had things going good. And she was living well. She was making very good money in Hawaii. Over there where the big island, where the volcano is. I've been there, seen it, done that. But the bottom line is, God can deliver from gambling. He can save from anything. And the greatest thing you and I can do is throw our hands up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you every day. When I start out praying, I thank the Lord for salvation first and sanctification second. And his love, and his mercy, and his pity, and his compassion, and his grace, his forgiveness. All these things. I name them out, Lord. I thank you for these things. One night, I had made a mistake. And I had a leg problem. I'd pulled a tendon or a ligament down in here. And I didn't know just exactly what. I talked to Sister Karen, and she said, well, yours wasn't as bad as Stan's was. Well, I'm thankful for that. But anyway, I'd made this mistake, and about 1 o'clock in the morning I was praying. And the Lord stopped me in my prayer, and he said, "What do I teach you in the Bible?" I said, "To forgive." He said, "I am the spirit of forgiveness, child. I'm the spirit of forgiveness. In other words, I teach you to forgive, and I forgive also. You're forgiven, child." I felt like I was, but I sometimes go back and double check things. I don't know about you all, but I want to be sure. See, I can be killed instantly, and I'll be sure I'm ready to go. Oh, today I thank him for salvation. Let's go to Psalms 30 and 4, one scripture there. One scripture there in Psalms 30 and 4. I'm right here at it. "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Now people like to argue doctrine. Some people said there's a sanctifying power that sanctifies you. Oh no, there's not, neither. There is too. There's a Holy Ghost. And that Holy Spirit enters in and gives you power to do what you couldn't do. There is a sanctification, and I like to thank the Lord for the sanctification too. Thank him for what he does. Thank him for salvation. Thank him for the second work of grace. Thank him for the cleansing, the power, the glory, the blessing. Thank him for the understanding, the leading, the guiding, the talking to us, dealing with us, working with us. Listen, folks, he's taking time to spend with you and I. He's doing what nobody else can do. He's helping us to understand this Word of God. He wrote it. He knows more about it. And he's the one that can teach us. It said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they" what? "They shall see God." For a long time, or for a while anyway, I thought what that meant was, well, you get saved, you get sanctified, and then when you die, you go to heaven, you see the Lord. And I was reading something one day, and it started opening up in me. He said, "They're deeper than that, child." In other words, they shall see God. The pure in heart, those that are his, saved and sanctified, he reveals, he opens up, he teaches, he gives you depth that he doesn't do the wise and the prudent. He gives it to his babes and to the saints. He opens it up to you, praise God. He knows more about this. He can take one scripture and feed you off of it for years, bless God. He can give you one thing now and something another later, another over here and over there. He can give you all kinds of things, praise God, because the Word of God is his. And it's going to last to all generations. And it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." We'll stand on this word when we go out and see him. We'll have it right there. Have it written on the tables of our heart. He said, "The remembrance, give thanks." Thank God for holiness this morning. Amen? And we thank the Lord for holiness this morning. Oh, thank the Lord that we see it, that we're desiring more and more of understanding about it, praise God. It's not something that is just a what do you want to call it, a one-time deal. What I mean by that is this. We learn more and more about the things of God. So Lord, help us to learn more and more of the sanctifying power. More and more. Let's go to this scripture. This is a scripture I quote more than probably any other in the Bible. Well, I don't know, maybe not. Let me see if I can find it here. "This is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it." I thought it was 118 of Psalms. I'm not seeing it though. "But this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Yeah, here it is right here, 24th verse, 118, 24. But it starts up above there. And some people say, well, Brother Melvin Doolittle, Melvindale, He let it be known that was a scripture that he quoted about first thing of a morning. Every morning he got up, he quoted that scripture. This is the day the Lord hath made. But folks, there's more to it than this natural day. This is talking about the gospel day. Because it goes on down in here. It said here in about the 19th verse, 118 and 9 of Psalms. It said, or 19, said, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go in to them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. And this is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe it covers the natural day, but it's talking about the gospel day. That's what the whole bottom line of that scripture is. It's a gospel day. Can we thank the Lord for the gospel day every day? Thank Him that He has let us have what we have. All right, let's go one more scripture, Colossians 2 and 6. Colossians 2 and 6, and then we'll probably quit right there. It said, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now then, the Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You have salvation, sanctification. And the longer you live for God, the more experience you have with God, really, in a sense, the more thanksgiving you have. You getting what I'm getting at? Brother Austin Wilson one time was going down the street, and he had been in a battle for a while. And he was, I guess, thinking about this battle and so forth. And he turned in. Now, I visit. He didn't say that this actually happened this way. He didn't say it was a holiday, like Thanksgiving or Christmas. I'm thinking about Christmas, people out shopping. He just indicated there's a lot of people everywhere. And he said, I went through the door. And he said, I went through the door and closed it. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you this victory just like I have all the other victories. Listen, folks, victory upon victory. More understanding, more knowledge gives us a foundation of faith and building and working because we have gotten close to God. We have dug in and we have held tight and worked and prayed and fasted and the Lord done something. You don't forget that. I've got victories I guess I'll never forget. Those victories are a victory foundation, so to speak. And he said, abounding with thanksgiving. In other words, when you have that kind of foundation under you, you have a foundation of thanksgiving. Does that make any sense? Am I making sense here? Yeah, I don't know if I've ever thought it quite this way. But you have a foundation of many victories, many battles, many trials, and you've had that. And you're thanking the Lord for all of these things. In a sense, you have a foundation of thanksgiving. So abounding. Just abounding in thanksgiving. Just thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Giving thanks would be our freely and openly thanking our Savior for all things. Definition is an acknowledging and confessing with gladness the benefits and the mercies which God bestows either upon ourselves or others. Acknowledging and confessing with gladness the benefits. Let's see, there's a scripture. It's in of Psalms, I think it is. Let me see here. 103, 101, somewhere along in there. I believe. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness, tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy life, thy youth, is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. So he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Now, when a person's out looking for a job, say they've gone to college and they have a degree and they go looking for a job. I've got a nephew right now that he didn't go to college, but he went to technical school. And they told him, said, here's what you need to do. So he done it. He spent a little bit more time in. And there's two areas that he could go to, and he wanted the one that he had to reach a little bit further for. But when if he gets what he's hoping to get, the benefits, the vacations, the holidays, maybe even your birthday off with pay, whatever, sick leave, and all these different things that companies give, that's nice. I've had a little bit of that, but nothing like a lot of people have. But the bottom line is, let me tell you something, the benefits that God has is out of this world. Thank the Lord. I appreciate your time, your prayers this morning. Pray for